to tell me that you went home and swiped a ball that was signed by Babe Ruth, and you brought it out here and actually played with it, and actually played with it? Yeah!
Are you one of those people that has to know how much the Babe Ruth ball is actually worth?
I was gonna bring it back, but it was signed by Babe Ruth! Yeah, you keep telling me that. Who is she?
We'll keep it right here, because today is your lucky day.
The Sultan of Clouds.
King of Crack.
The Colossus of Clouds. The Colossus of Clouds.
It's time for Sports Collecting with Tom Morgan, sponsored by ERC Delivery and Huggins and Scott Auctions.
The Great Bambino!
Good morning, everybody. I'm Tom Morgan from Triple Crown in Naperville with Vince Clemente of ERC Delivery, Bill Huggins of Huggins and Scott Auctions, and our producer is Eric Ostrowski. We're on every Saturday morning from 7 to 8 a.m. Central Time. You can call us if you have a question about the value of a collectible. And we've got a prize package this week. If you're announced by Vince at the end of the show that you won the prize, all you have to do is email Vince at ERC Delivery by Thursday, and ERC Delivery will deliver it free of charge to your door. And the last 3 weeks, the winner, maybe, you know, a lot of times people say they have to get to work when they're listening to the show, so they can't listen to the end of the show. They don't know they're the winner. Well, listen at tcrowntom.com. There's replays of the previous show, or listen at hugginsandscott.com. They have all our shows up there. And if you called in during the week because you want to pick up this prize, so listen to this prize package this week. I'm not going to do this, read this off many times. A Threads basketball box. A pack of Topps Tribute Baseball, Topps 2017 team sets of the Cubs and White Sox, and we're adding a 2017 Panini Prestige Football Pack, which has one autograph per pack, to the prize package. So all you have to do, give us a call at 312-332-3776, and you get in the drawing, or you can tweet a picture of an item that you think might have value to my attention. T Crown Tom is my Twitter ID. If we use it on the show, you get in the drawing. And we've got a caller here. I know who this is. This is Rich Stanfell. Rich, thanks for calling.
Hi, Tom. How are you?
Good. Rich called a T Crown yesterday. Had some great stories, and I thought, you got to call in on the show and tell about this thing. Rich, now, Rich's dad was Dick Stanfell, who is a Hall of Fame offensive lineman, played during the 50s, voted to the 50s all-decade team. I mean, he was that good. I watched some video. I actually put up a video on my Twitter ID, T Crown Tom, of Marv Levy presented Dick Stanfell into the Hall of Fame in 2016, I believe it was, and there's a YouTube video of some of the highlights of Dick Stanfell, but Rich has some of the memorabilia from Dick Stanfell's career. Also, Dick coached the Chicago Bears offensive line from 1981 to 92, and Mike Ditka thought he was the best offensive line coach in football maybe ever that he had seen. So a great career for your dad, Rich, and if you want to tell a couple of stories, like, for instance, can you start off with his, in college, some of the guys he played with in college?
Sure, Tom. I mentioned to you yesterday, so people don't know too much about his college, which was University of San Francisco, that no longer has football, but back in the 50s, they were this little-known secret and had some pretty amazing players that played on their team, and I'd probably be challenged to find anyone else that could find a football team at all ever in college that had four Hall of Famers that came from their team.
Wow.
And including Dad, of course, but also arguably one of the greatest defensive ends to ever play the game, Gino Marchetti played.
Yeah.
Ollie Mattson, a great running back. Also, Bob St. Clair, who played offensive tackle for the 49ers for many years.
What an offensive line for college, huh?
It was very good. So if I saw Gino Marchetti, Ollie Mattson, Dick Stanfell, and Bob St. Clair. And then I'll mention one other person that was associated with their team that didn't play, but will go down as a Hall of Famer. And he was this, at that time, sports information director that pretty much tried to get the word out about this tiny little team and went on to NFL great. The commissioner, Pete Rozelle, was their sports information director.
Isn't that something? He did a pretty good job getting the word out on the NFL. And then later on, when he became commissioner, this is when it seemed like they really took off, man. So now you have your dad's memorabilia. Some of his memorabilia is at the Hall of Fame now. And I think you were saying then when the new class comes in, then they return some of that memorabilia to the family. What are some of the items that of your dad that are showing at the Hall of Fame right now?
Well, there's most of it has to do with his career. So I'll say that his Super Bowl ring is with us. So that wasn't, believe it or not an important piece to the Hall of Fame because we're talking about his career in the Hall of Fame. But so the Hall of Fame asked us to gather many things that might be relevant to his era or his playing days, and all the players from last year's class did the same thing. So Dad, some of the things that Dad had were, one of them that I had never seen actually until my brother pulled it out of a trunk was, he played in the college all-star game, and he has these original uniform, this red, white, and blue with stars, both helmet and jersey that was pretty special.
Wow, that is neat.
Man. Yeah, and those, he's one of the few guys that I think that had both played and coached in that game. And he he actually coached Mike Ditka in that game. So that was kind of unusual years later.
Yeah,
so
that's something. Now, Bill Huggins, would you be able to even give an estimate of what Dick Stanfell's Bears Super Bowl ring might go for if it ever went to an auction? And also, which do you think could be more valuable? I think it was 52 and 53 that he won championships.
Right.
Those two rings or the Super Bowl ring, Bill?
Well, I'll be honest with you, Rich. I think some of the older rings may do better than his 85 Bears ring. I mean, Bears ring is probably way more elaborate, way more visually eye bling appeal and everything. The research that we did after I spoke with Tom yesterday that you were going to be on, we found that I think Dennis McKinnon was on that team.
Yes.
He sold his ring in 02, and it sold for $18,000.
Okay.
But I think your dad, he was the coach of that team as opposed to a player, obviously. Whereas back in the 50s, he was a player as opposed to a coach. Players' rings generally bring far more than coaches or front office or executives or other people that they give rings to. The actual players, and then you get into the level of the player, whereas your dad being a Hall of Fame player for these teams, that's as good as it gets.
Yeah.
Right.
So you think the 50s
would... rings were probably better. Is that what you're saying? And those I can tell you from my pictures is they're very modest rings from those days, but they're pretty nice.
Yes, they are. They're not the elaborate, you know, Jerry Jones, how many diamonds can I get on a ring type thing. They're history. They're deep history, early football history. And when those surface, you know, I haven't found any of those that have surfaced. And when from that particular game and, When those do surface, they can bring staggering numbers. You know, if there was something that your family would ever be interested in parting with, it would be a 100% featured item in one of our auctions.
Well, that's good to know. I don't know that my brother. I was telling Tom that we had a straw pick when my dad passed away, and I thought I'd be pretty smart. The one that was most near and dear to my father was his 1953 ring, which is the year he was voted most valuable player by his teammates the year they won the championship. So that's a pretty special. He wore that one every day and very seldom. He did wear his Bears Super Bowl ring occasionally, but only for special occasions if he was doing a Bears event, et cetera. But he wore those special. I'm sure my brothers They got the first two picks when we were sort of going through his memorabilia, and I got stuck, I told Tom, with the Bears 85 Super Bowl ring, because I likely would have picked my dad's favorite ring.
Yeah,
but, I'm sure my brothers will have a hard time parting with those, but if we ever think about it, that's definitely something to think about, the value of those.
Boy, that uniform and helmet from the college all-star football game, too. What, Bill? Could you even give an estimate on something like that?
Gosh, I want to say that if you looked into our archives, we've sold. Now, I don't know if it was from the same year, but I know we've sold some of those red, white, and blue stars and stripes college all-star jerseys. I don't know which year it was from or who the player was, but I remember seeing at least one or more of those coming through our offices over the years, and I don't exactly know what they went for, but that's certainly something that could be looked up.
Bill, I was telling Rich yesterday that you guys had sold some items for Sonny Jurgensen and were at his house, and Rich said, Rich, tell him the story about the reunion.
Well, this is probably, I'm trying to think back to the day, but it's probably been 15 years ago, Mr. Schneider decided to put together as a marketing piece a list of the 70 greatest Redskins of all time. And they did a big party, and we were invited. And Dad was actually made the team. He only played with the Redskins for 3 years, his last 3 years of his career, which he was all pro all three of those years. But they gathered these 70 greatest, and I can recall as a young man being able to go to these parties and have a beer with Billy Kilmer and Sonny Jurgensen and John Riggins and all the Hogs. It was a really special. And I think they've expanded it now until to their 80th greatest since time has gone by. So I think every decade they add 10 more players to their prestigious list.
Wow.
What a party that must have been.
Oh, my gosh. Can you imagine?
Yeah.
Oh, all the stories at that, too. Oh, my gosh. That must have been something.
Yes, it was wonderful.
Well, thanks for calling, Rich. That's some great stuff. If you want to send me any pictures or you ever want to stop by Triple Crown in Naperville with any of your items and that I take pictures and tweet them so the listeners can see them, I'd be happy to post pictures of them because that's some cool stuff. And what a great man your dad was.
Love to do it. I mentioned to you earlier, I've got one of the things on display at the Hall of Fame is that MVP trophy that when he won the MVP of his team the year they won the championship. Ooh. Was a really special piece, too. The Hall of Fame curator, it had some damage to it, and they brought it back to its perfect condition. So it's a pretty special piece,
yeah,
too. And, of course, my brother's rings that will be returned back to him soon would be wonderful. I'd love to stop in, and happy to have you take pictures and put them on.
All right, very good. Well, thanks for calling, Rich.
Take care, Tom.
Okay, you too. Boy, isn't that something? Can you imagine the stories and the memories? Just think all the stories that they heard growing up just and their dad was such a great guy and everything, really something else. Okay, well, now don't forget the Huggins and Scott auction. Bidding begins for their August auction, July 24th. There's already tons of stuff up on the Huggins and Scott website. Here's something you don't see every day at T Crown. Somebody walking in with this. A 1954 Red Heart dog food complete 32-card set. They're all PSA 8 graded. It's number 15 on the registry. It has Minoso, Musial, Nellie Fox, Snyder, Billy Martin, and, of course, Mantle's the biggie. He's always the most valuable in that crew.
It was on a dog food? It came with
Red
a dog
Heart
food
dog
product?
Food. They're kind of cool-looking cards, actually. I've seen the cards before. I don't think I've ever seen a PSA 8 entire graded set. $5,000 minimum bid on that set. But for those of you that don't know what the registry is or what number 15 or whatever means, when PSA grades cards in a set, you can, if you register with them, you can put them in there and they rank them. They add up all the different grades in your set and then they rank them with the other sets in there. And sometimes, Bill, isn't it true that the closer you get to number one, the more and more and more money those sets can go for?
Oh, yeah. That's the way it works. The higher you are on the list, the more your set is worth, for sure.
It's really something. And sometimes then guys will pay some really good money. Let's say they have a red heart set and it's all eights, but they have a four of one of the cards and they see an eight come up and, or a nine even, and they want to get, you know, a nicer upgrade part of the set. But somebody else that's wants to upgrade also, the bidding can get pretty wild on single cards from that too.
If
the right guys need it to fill out a set or to improve their set. So it's already time for the first break here. The number's 312-332-3776. We're on till 8. You can call us if you have a question about the value of a collectible, or if you just want to talk about a neat item that you have and see what we think it might be worth. You can tell us what you think it might be worth if you have something that you think is good. And we've got a big prize package to give away. I'm not going to read it all off, but it's a good prize package. All you have to do is Vince will announce the winner at the end of the show and email Vince at ERC Delivery. So hang in there. We'll be right back.
Now back to Sports Collecting with Tom Morgan, sponsored by ercdelivery.com and Huggins and Scott Auctions on ESPN 1000 and ESPNChicago.com.
Welcome back. I'm Tom Morgan with Vince Clementi of ERC Delivery and Bill Huggins of Huggins and Scott Auctions. We're until 8. You can call us with questions about the value of your collectibles. Try to give you an estimate of what it might sell for if it's in a Huggins and Scott auction or in a store in the Chicago area, if it's a lesser value item, what it might be worth. And then you get in a drawing. We're giving away, listen to this prize package, a Panini Threads basketball box, a pack of Topps Tribute Baseball, Cubs and White Sox Topps 2017 team sets, and we've added a pack of 2017 Panini Prestige Football, which just came out this week. Really nice cards. They have one autograph per pack. Rookies and veterans you can get autographs of in the Panini Prestige. Plus, there's usually a group of rookie cards in there that are good. With all the quarterbacks in there, I'm picking up Trubisky autographs. I'm keeping some.
You keep saying that he's kind of growing on you.
The more I like of him. So we'll see what happens with him. Part of it might be hope, but my original instinct was I didn't like the move. And then the more I looked into it, more I saw it, more everything that was going on, I'm kind of psyched about it. I think even if he doesn't play this year at all, and just learns for a year, I think the potential is there for him to be really good. Now, I had a real nice gentleman that's a listener of the show stop by T-Crown, Triple Crown in Naperville last Saturday, and had a Babe Ruth and Lou Gehrig signed baseballs. The Gehrig was so faint you could hardly see. You couldn't know for sure that it was Gehrig, actually. It was that faint. But the Ruth, you could tell was Ruth, and I told him the one warning thing for me, I'm not an authenticator, but I can usually tell if they have a chance to be good or not to be good. I said, I'm not going to say this isn't going to be good, but I've never seen the R from the Ruth wrap over the T and the H, you know, the top of them on the Ruth. It was over that much. I thought, you know, maybe, I don't know, but maybe he moved when he was doing it or something, but it ended up it is a secretarial or clubhouse signature, so that wasn't real. But in the upcoming Huggins and Scott auction, there are some real Babe Ruth signatures in here. Listen to some of the items they have. The bidding begins July 24th, goes through August 3rd. You can see these items at HugginsandScott.com. There's a Babe Ruth 1939-43 signed Sepia Hall of Fame plaque postcard, one of only four known PSA DNA slabbed authentic.
Wow.
$25,000 minimum bid on that. $25,000 minimum bid on that.
Wow.
Think what that one's going to go for.
Wow.
Then there's I did have a cut signature of Babe Ruth that came in a couple months ago that got authenticated. Just a cut, when it's called a cut signature, it's just the guy signed a piece of paper or an index card or whatever. This was on a piece of paper. That's got a $500 minimum bid. And there are a couple single signed baseballs in there. There's one that has, listen to this one, Babe Ruth single signed baseball, a bold, like an 8 quality signature, $5,000 minimum bid on that one. Another one, not quite as bold a signature, $1,500 minimum bid on the other Babe Ruth. So you're really getting in a lot of Babe Ruth stuff in there, huh, Bill?
Oh, yeah. Well, Babe signed a lot of stuff.
He did. He wasn't shy about it. And that's one thing that people, a lot of people did save when, you know, Babe Ruth, because he was the guy. And Lou Gehrig, too, you know. I don't think Gehrig signed as much as Ruth, but people would hang on to it. So it still goes for great, even though there's a lot of them out there. The nicer ones can go for some really big money. And only four of those signed Hall of Fame plaque postcards of Ruth, huh, Bill, that have been known so far?
Yes, the window that those could have been signed before he died was very short, and in which case there's just very few of them out there.
Yeah, so very cool. You can go to HugginsandScott.com. Superman Todd is on the line. What's up, Superman?
Morning, guys. Hey, Tom, you going to the garage sale today?
It's Superman!
What are you doing, Superman?
I said, you going to the Sox garage sale today?
No, I've got to be at T-Crown. That starts at 10, right?
Yeah, 10 to 2.
I saw something on the news about that yesterday where they had all kinds of bats and stuff. That would be something... it'd be somebody who really has some money could go
Where's
there and buy
at?
All kinds of stuff.
Where are they having it?
It's right at Sox Park, isn't it, Superman?
Yeah, we're on our way there now. I'll send some pictures later. But the reason I was calling, I'd never get rid of these pair, but I got a signed pair of Junior Seau cleats.
Yeah,
wanted to see what you guys thought about that.
They're good cleats, without a doubt. Hall of Famer, you know, good value to them, without a doubt. I don't know. What do you think long-term for Junior Seau pricing, Bill, with all that went on with him? You know, he was a great player, played a long time, and then having the what is it called, CTE?
Chronic brain damage. Yeah,
and he committing suicide. What do you think long-term for Junior Seau, Bill?
Well, I think, yes, there was a bit of a spike and some interest. A lot of times there always is when a Hall of Famer dies, stuff like that. But his value on his stuff, well, I think will always hold its value. I mean, those cleats could be several thousand dollars. I don't know how many of them are out there, but if there's very few, it's certainly an item, Todd, that will definitely hold its value over the years.
Yeah, without a doubt. I wonder what's going on at the Chicago Theater. We do the show here on Mazda State Street Studios. We're in right on State Street across from the Chicago Theater. There's all kinds of people lined up going in for something that looks like they must have an early morning show going over there. I've never seen that before, but they're lining up, whatever it is.
There's a lot of people with like this light blue teal type of robes or something like that. I'm not sure what's going on.
I wonder if it's some sort of like a contest or something, or you know, maybe it's like karate or something. Who knows? Doesn't it kind of look like
I think they found a bunch of old wax boxes and they're gonna
rip at the same time.
I wouldn't be in the studio now if that was the case. I'd be across the street, Bill.
Vince just got one of the robes and he's over there.
Gone.
Well, the number here is 312-332-3776. You can give us a call if you have an item you think might be valuable. We have a big prize package to give away. Get in a drawing. Vince will pick the winner at the end of the show. Or you can tweet a picture of an item to my attention. T-Crown Tom is my Twitter ID. And if we use that picture, or if we talk about that on the show, then you get in the drawing that way also. But right now, what we're going to do is... Which ended higher, Vince? These were items that ended in the May Huggins and Scott auction, and Vince, you're going to have to decide which one had the bidding end at the highest price. You can play along at home and bet bowls of cereal with your family members. Okay, first item. I think we've talked about this one on the show before, but you know, we'll see if you've been paying attention or not. And you don't know if the other ones are more or less, either. So we'll see. Early 1980s Gary Carter signed and game-worn Expos jacket. That's the first item. Second item, Jackie Robinson signed black and white Hall of Fame postcard. PSA DNA 9 is the grade. I almost said the final price was. That would kind of ruin the thing. And a 1909-11 T206 White Borders Harry Howell Lennox back card graded SDC 2.5. Now, Harry Howell, just to give you a little bit of background on him, had 131 wins, 146 losses in his career. I think he was 93rd or something all time in hit batsmen. He hit 97 okay. guys, so he was a headhunter. Who would you think? Well, we'll go to this afterwards because okay. I don't want you to lose track of the three headhunters. But a couple of things I want to say is who hit the most batters and who got hit the most times, but of modern day guys gotcha. On the list. So let's review real quick the three items. Early 80s, Gary Carter signed and game worn Expos jacket. Jackie Robinson signed black and white Hall of Fame postcard PSA DNA 9 or a T206 1909-11 White Borders Harry Howell Lennox back SGC 2.5.
I'm going to go with the Jackie Robinson.
And you would be incorrect, sir.
I almost picked Gary Carter's jacket.
That was number one. Rare. Gary Carter's jacket, $2,600 for Gary Carter. Jackie Robinson, $2,200. And the White Borders Harry Howell card, $2,000. So they're always we always make it tough on you.
Yes, I
make it tough
on you. You create this whole thing, yes.
Because they're always grouped together. But now here's just to keep your thinking cap on here. Okay, hit by pitches. Okay, number one was Huey Jennings got hit the most. I think he got hit 287 times by pitches. What modern era player who's actually a Hall of Famer got hit the second most times? And I'll tell you, what type of hit? He played from the 60s to now, you know, in that time frame.
I was going to guess Ron Hunt before you said the Hall of Fame because remember Ron Hunt
hit a lot. He was up on the list, but not a Hall of Famer.
You're saying it's a Hall of Famer from the 60s?
Hall of Famer. I would have never thought this guy, actually.
Maybe just the toughness of him. Maybe Pete Rose?
No, technically he's not 60s. A Hall of Famer yet either.
Yeah, you're right.
But this was a scrappy type multi-position Hall of Fame player.
Gotcha. I'm just not coming up
Craig
with a good
Biggio.
Guess. Oh, okay, sure.
I would have never thought that. Bill, would you have thought Craig Biggio was second all-time hit by pitches?
Well, I did hear when he was playing that he was getting into the categories of Ron Hunt, like Vince was saying.
Okay, Okay, so you probably would have gotten that one then. Now here's one.
I wasn't thinking him when you were
when I was thinking about going to the list and looking it up. Now here is for pitchers who have hit the most batters. I don't know how you pronounce this guy, Gus Weying, Weihing, hit most batters 277. He pitched from 1887 to 1901. I hope the balls were softer in the dead ball era. Now, the guy that I'm thinking of, another modern day since the 60s, another Hall of Famer. I'm pretty sure he's got already in the Hall of Fame. Yeah. Tied for fifth with Eddie Plank with 190 hit batsmen. Guess who this pitcher would be?
Hall of Fame pitcher.
Yeah.
How about Tom Seaver?
He's a lefty.
A lefty. Randy Johnson?
Yes, that's it. All very good.
I was going to give you the clue. He also hit a bird once.
Yeah.
That
would
have done it.
Was an unbelievable highlight, wasn't it? Oh, my gosh.
He felt pretty bad about doing that, too.
Well, think about that. Who's going to expect that? Jeez.
He obliterated it.
It exploded. Yep. Well, that must have been a fastball, too. Yep. He did have a good fastball. Chris Sale does kind of remind me of him sometimes. Yeah. When he throws that slider breaking down and in on right-hand batters. I remember last year, Mark Trumbo, I think it was, struck out on a ball that hit him in the foot. when Sale really has it going, it's like a wiffle ball the way it breaks. I can't believe he can do that. Bruce from Bloomington's on the line. What do you have there, Bruce?
Yes, I have a card I've been holding on for a little bit. It's a Kobe Bryant autograph card that came out of 96-97 scoreboard. I believe a scoreboard inscription, I think.
Okay. Have you had that graded or?
No.
Okay. Not. Well, that's a rookie year Kobe Bryant autograph, so I'd have to see exactly which one it is, but I would think a minimum of a couple $100s, and then depending on the grade, what the actual card set is, it's a good one to hang on to. Kobe would be on my top 10 all-time team as a guard, a backup to Jordan, I think. I mean, he was that good, so. I think he'll always have really good long-term value.
If you're only going to put two guards on there, where do you put Magic?
Magic would be the starting point guard with Jordan, and then I think I'd have LeBron, Kareem, and the power forward, I kind of toss it around. Like, you could probably move Bill Russell to power forward. I suppose you could start Wilt and play Kareem at power forward, because Kareem had that. He could make hook shots from like 20 feet away. I like Kareem at the center spot, though, because he was really clutch. Hard to keep Bill Russell off. Hard to keep Wilt off the they're on the team, but on the starting.
Right.
You know who's a sleeper to me that I think was incredibly great player, low post player, that I'd have to have on the team is Olajuwon.
Yeah.
That guy's moves underneath were just something else. So I think I'd have him.
He was kind of overshadowed, especially in that draft with Jordan and all that. But,
yeah, well, he did. He was picked ahead of Jordan, too, which wasn't so bad. But then Sam Bowie going ahead of him, that was the one.
Portland. But they had Drexler at the time, so they figured, why get a second guard there? But I guess you missed.
I think they could have figured out a way to the two of them would have been able to play together and done pretty well. Can you imagine if they had been?
Yeah.
When you look at how well the dream teams can play together, they just, if they know their roles. Now, whether a guy who's used to being the scorer and the man, you can do it on a Olympic team for a couple of weeks or whatever, a month, whatever. But would you want to do that all season? Maybe they're not as happy doing it all season. Yeah. You never know how that's going to go. Okay, the number here is 312-332-3776. We're on till 8. You can call us with a question about the value of your collectibles. Get in the drawing. We've got a prize package. Includes a Threads basketball box, a pack of Topps Tribute baseball, a Cubs and White Sox Topps 2017 team sets with 17 cards in each. And we're adding a pack of 2017 Panini Prestige football. So get your call in, 312-332-3776. And hang in there. We'll be right back.
Now back to Sports Collecting with Tom Morgan.
Welcome back. I'm Tom Morgan with Vince Clemente of ERC Delivery and Bill Huggins of Huggins and Scott Auctions. We're on till 8. You can give us questions about the value of your collectibles, and we'll try to give you an estimate what it might sell for, if it's worth going in a Huggins and Scott auction, or just what the value of it might be, even if it wouldn't be something that would be in Huggins and Scott. You can check with us, and we'll try to give you an estimate of what it might sell for. And Huggins and Scott, now they have their August auction. Bidding begins July 24th. All kinds of stuff up at HugginsandScott.com. You can see some of the types of things that they have up for bidding there. They've got a 1958 Topps football set with a PSA 4 Jim Brown rookie card. $250 minimum bid on that one. They've got, this is something I had never seen before, 1951 Bowman Jets, Rockets, and Spacemen card. There's card number 104 that's a PSA 9. I don't think there are any higher. Card number 84 and card number 86 in three separate lots with $150 minimum bids. Bill, is that something, I had never heard of them until I saw them in your auctions. Is that something you've had before that you remember?
We have. We've had that set before, but not anywhere near this high grade. I mean, a lot of these ones that we sent in are one of ones with none higher.
You know? Yeah. It's like, so I guess if they're guys putting that together, especially if they're registry guys, oh, my gosh, they're going to want that for sure. I was looking, the MLB draft is Monday, and I always do a lot of stuff with the basketball draft, and I can't wait till the basketball draft gets here. But I'm thinking, this MLB draft is, they're making it, it's a bigger deal, it's televised. I'm going to look and see who's in it, who's supposed to be projected as being really good. And it's kind of amazing this year. there's two guys that are supposed to go in the top five, Hunter Green and Brennan McKay. Hunter Green's a high schooler, and Brennan McKay, a Louisville, he's a Louisville pitcher, first baseman. Hunter Green's a shortstop and pitcher. So there's two different guys that supposedly could be drafted as first rounders at two different positions.
Yep.
Pitcher for Brennan McKay, pitcher and first base, and Hunter Green, pitcher and shortstop. Listen to how MLB ranks them. Hunter Green, they gave him his fastball a 70. So, wow. You know, 80 is the top you can
get. He's hit triple digits on his fastball,
yeah.
Green has.
Yes,
yep.
Yeah. And then he's overall 55 as a shortstop, and he could be like maybe a Tim Anderson-type player at short, maybe in that range or even better. So it's like, where will he go? It'll be interesting to see what happens. Brennan McKay, Louisville first baseman and left-handed pitcher, has a 55 fastball with an overall ranking of 60. Hits for 60 and overall 60 at first base. So I don't know. It seems like we were talking before the show. Why couldn't somebody DH maybe and pitch?
Yep.
You know, or first base you could see maybe playing some. And
right.
But then I was looking at, I've had these 2016 Panini Elite Extra Edition packs, and I liked them because I knew Moncada and Tebow had autographs in there. But all three of those guys are in that with autographs, and so are a couple other higher pick potential. Jaron Kendall's in there. So it's like, oh, I ordered some more of that product. They have one autograph, at least one autograph per pack. Kind of cool. In some of these guys, the way they can be in there already, they have contenders under 18 teams, USA teams, and they make cards of them from there, and then they have those cracked ice cards. There's some pretty valuable cards in there. So it's pretty interesting.
Absolutely.
So I like the Elite Extra Edition packs even more after that. Marcel from Skokie's online. What do you have there, Marcel?
Hey, guys. Good morning.
Hi.
I have a 2005 Top Prestige Justin Morneau, the one of one barrel of the bat with his initials on the bottom.
Ooh, now that's kind of neat. I thought you just had a regular Topps card, a 101 barrel that came out of what product?
I believe it's Topps Prestige. I haven't looked at it in about at least 5 or 6 years.
Yeah, wouldn't have been Prestige. Maybe, well, there wasn't Topps Prime Cuts. But let me know what that is. But those bat barrel cards can do very well. Usually they do at least a couple $100. Justin Morneau is a free agent right now. He's not going to be a Hall of Famer, but he was a really good player. So I don't know. I would think that might be $200 to $400. But even, Bill, is that something, because it's a 101 bat barrel card, if maybe not Morneau, but are there players that you would want to try to auction those in your auction?
Oh, sure. And I think we may have run a few of them over the time that, especially one of one things are, that's all there is.
Yeah. And when it's actually from a game used bat in a barrel or a bat knob, that came from one of the major card companies, those usually can do pretty well. But, I always liked Morneau. He was they would play the White Sox when he was with the Twins. I mean, he was good.
Yeah,
he,
that concussion set him back.
It really
he just wasn't
did.
The same.
Never the same. He missed, I think it seemed like almost a year from that. He ended up playing with the White Sox part of the season last year and was pretty good. He played with Colorado a couple years ago and had one really good year with them. So not a bad player. Never will be a Hall of Famer, though, which long-term when they're retired usually hurts the value some.
Yep.
Daniel from Portage, Indiana is online. What do you have there, Daniel?
Hey, how you doing, sir? Hey, I just have a couple, well, I guess I'll say one, I call it random item. It's a football that is signed by Walter, right, Peyton.
Okay.
And I actually was there, you know, one of my brothers was there with me, and we actually threw it to him, and he, you know, took it and signed it and threw it back to us when they were still at training camp up here, you know.
That's cool.
But, anyways, it's just some random football. It's actually fluorescent orange football. I don't know where we got that long ago back in the 80s. But anyways, is something like that like worth even getting? Well, actually, it has about three other signatures on it. Sorry. So it's not just Walter. So there's like Otis on there, and it might be Emery and one other player. But anyways, is anything like that worth getting perhaps authenticated, or would it possibly be worth a decent, you know, a good little chunk at least, or not?
Personally,
really,
what I would do with that, if the names you already have on it are all Bears Super Bowl team players from the year they won the Super Bowl, I think I'd try to add other Bears from that team to it. Ideally, it would have just been Walter by himself, but check and make sure that the other names you have on it, if they're all on this from that Super Bowl team, add to it. That'd be kind of fun. And Bill, don't you think if he could end up getting maybe 30 guys on it, then, you know, that'd be have some pretty good value to it.
Yeah, I don't know how many fluorescent orange footballs signed by the Bears.
That would be a one of one, I think. The team side fluorescent orange, and you'd be able to see it at night when you're playing catch with it, if nothing else, Daniel. Oh, yeah.
That's
so
funny.
Yeah, sometimes, you know, not the best ideas, but to get a Walter signature, I mean, that's awesome on any type of football. John from Evergreen Park's on the line. What do you have there, John?
Hey, good morning, guys. I enjoy the show. It makes the Saturdays enjoyable.
Well, great. That makes us feel good.
I got an 86 Fleer sticker, not the rookie, but the sticker, the one that says Jordan in the road jersey and has the yellow.
Mm-hmm.
I was wondering what that one's worth. And then the 85 Nike, you know, the enlarged card. I know that's a pretty rare one, the one where I think he's in the air with the basketball. I don't know if that's worth anything.
Ooh, I'm sure it is. I'm not as familiar with what that one goes for. Now, the 86 sticker, a lot of times those are askew, where they're kind of, they're not straight, they're off some. But if you have them well-centered and it's gradable, that would be one that you want to get graded, don't you think, Bill? And we may have just lost Bill Huggins there. I heard like some clicking there. So, well, anyway, I would say the 86 sticker, if it's well-centered, sharp, front and back, corners, edges, surface all look good. And that Nike one, we'll have to do some research on that one. I really haven't seen that one, but typically the star cards from prior to 86 of Jordan do anywhere from well to very, very, very well if you have that star 101 card. So we'll do a little research on the Nike card and see what we can find on that.
There's a couple stickers on eBay from 86 MJ graded about a 7 going for about $200.
Yeah,
so
a lot of them can get that grade. It's the ones, right, if it's perfect and you can, if you have a shot at a 9 or better, that's when you can really get the money, John. So I would maybe sometime you can stop by Triple Crown with them and we'll do a little research and see what we can find out.
Okay, thank you, guys.
All right, thank you. Yeah, those... it seems like every time somebody brings in one of the Jordan rookie stickers, it's just, it's funky the way it's set up. It's off.
It's hard to get centered.
It's not
perfectly.
It's not even really that it's off center. It's tilted. It's like it's askew, especially on the back. It's, I don't know if somebody was drinking when he was lining that up or what was going on. Mike from West Chicago's online. What do you have there, Mike?
Good morning, Tom. Enjoy listening to your show. It makes my drive to work much easier in the morning.
Great. Where do you work? Can you say where you work?
I work at a company called RJ's Recreational in West Chicago.
All right. Very good. Yeah. Little plug for him there.
Thank you.
Ask for a bonus on your next check there, Mike. What do you have?
I had a pink Cubs hat. And on the brim, it had Billy Williams and Jimmy Pearsall's signature on it. My question would, on the brim of the hat, you know, very legible.
Okay.
And with Jimmy Pearsall passing away this past week, does that make it more valuable?
Well, he does have a Cub connection because for a while there, he was coaching the Cubs minor league outfielders, I think. So at least there is a connection there. But... he's not a Hall of Famer. Billy Williams is. I don't think there's a lot of help to the value with that. I would think, you know, even on a good day, the two of them together on that, depending on how it looks, maybe $50 to $100, something like that, if they were authenticated. Did you get those in person?
My wife did, yes.
Yeah, well, I would think that would be the type of thing you get your most on it if you sell it on eBay and you say, got these in person. You're the only one who can do that and do a buy it now best offer if you thought you were going to sell it and see what you could come up with and say, well, you're guaranteed to pass any authentication because you got them signed in person. I couldn't do that for him. Yep. Bill couldn't do that for him, but he can do that himself. So that's always a good thing. All right. Next on the line, we have Mike from Mike. What is it? Wanatawa, Wanatawa, Indiana. What is it?
Wanata, Indiana.
Wanata. Yep. Okay. Just I've never heard of Wanata.
Valparaiso.
Oh, yep, is it really?
South of Valparaiso.
Have you ever been to Hoosier Bat Company in Valparaiso?
I have, sir.
That's a pretty cool. I know him, Dave Cook, a little bit, so he seems like a really good guy. He's got kind of a neat setup there, huh? Have you ever watched him make the bats there?
I have, yes.
Yeah.
It's something, if you live anywhere near this area, it's something to stop by and see, definitely.
Yeah, without a doubt. Yeah, that's cool. So what do you have?
Well, what I have is some of the old, I don't know if you remember, the Nike posters.
Yeah.
And like Lance Parrish with the Tiger Catcher.
Sure.
And the Raleigh Fingers and Bruce Sutter one with them in the fireman outfits and that. I have those all signed and authenticated. And I was just wondering what the value. I see the posters on eBay going for $130, $140, not signed. Are the value of those increased with that? And they're all authenticated also.
Well, that's good that they're authenticated. I would imagine $130 is probably what people are asking on them on eBay rather than sold items. That sounds a little high
that's
for that.
True, yeah.
Yeah. You know, what you really want to do on that type of thing is look for sold items on eBay, what things have ever actually ended at, and get a better idea that way. But it was Parrish, Raleigh Fingers, and who was the other one?
Fingers and Sutter, and they both have Hall of Fame inscriptions. And then I have the, I'm sorry, I also have the Ryan Sandberg cornerstone one, the Nike.
Signed by him also?
Yes.
That would probably be the most of the group. The some of the other Hall of Famers, the modern day Hall of Famers that sign a lot, they just sign so many things, they're not worth as much as you would hope they might be. Great displays, and there is value to them. But not a ton. Have you seen any on Vince that
I'm
have
looking,
ended?
There's a couple, just the posters asking for like 150, but that's not a final. That's just what they're asking.
And he
asking.
Said nothing in the sold right. items.
Nothing sold.
Yeah, I think that'll, if they're asking 150 on an unsigned poster, I have a feeling they might not sell. But neat items. I would think, you know, you might on a Sandberg, you might get 100 on that and probably more 25 to 50. Bill, have you ever had like some really tough to get signature of a poster or just a movie poster or something that sells for some good bucks in an auction?
Well, it would have to be somebody old and long since dead.
Yeah, you know? Right. Yeah, the guys, the modern day Hall of Famers, there's just so many of them out there signing, doing the shows and signing so much stuff. It just kind of, it's supply and demand, and it just kind of keeps the value down on some of that stuff. Got time for one more call here. Tim from Munster, Indiana. What do you have there, Tim?
I got two things. The first is from the second championship season. The Hawks did a, I think it was Topps that did a championship card set. And I have every card signed. Just wonder what that might be worth.
All the Blackhawks signed?
Yeah, every card is signed.
Ooh.
I haven't mounted it yet, but I just wondered with a complete set and everyone autographed, including all the players, obviously, that left after the fact. Let's wonder what that might, set
that,
might
that,
be
now
worth.
That's a cool item. Now, did you get them signed in person, or were these that they came autographed for out of the pack signed?
No. I got them autographed in person.
Oh, that's very cool. I would think that would be over $500 in an auction, maybe break a grand. And Bill, if since they're already authenticated, would you want to auction those maybe?
Oh, I'd certainly want to entertain auctioning those. You can bring them into your store one day. If you could send me some pictures, we can make that happen.
Very good. Vince?
This week's winner is going to be Superman Todd. So, Superman, send me your address via email, vince@ercdelivery.com. Get back to you, set up delivery to your home free of charge.
That might be the first win for Superman, Todd. Yeah. I don't remember winning that.
Yep. So, well, congratulations.
Superman wins.
Up in the sky.
It's Superman. Don't forget to check out HugginsandScott.com. Auction bidding begins July 24th, but tons of items up there already. You can check it out. I'm Tom Morgan at Triple Crown in Naperville 6 days a week. Vince Clementi at ERC Delivery. Have a great week.